The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. Football Friday on a numbers game.
Let's go.
What are you doing? A little victory sign?
Yeah, a little wave.
Hey, man, Football Friday does not get any better than this.
Does not.
We have reached the end of the week talking championship games, only to be followed by 2 weeks of Super Bowl prep.
That is right. And a lot of Super Bowl conversation. I'm already looking forward to my week two Gatorade breakdown.
I am looking forward to that as well. What's the halftime show that I have to break down? Is it Kendrick Lamar?
It's Kendrick Lamar, right?
We're starting to get out of my strike zone now. This is when you start to feel old. This used to be our thing. I'll do my darndest. But today,
yeah, Kendrick Lamar. Yep.
In case you are, we've been on SiriusXM channel 158 now for one solid week. We started last Friday. In case you did not hear that show. What we do here on Fridays during football season is pretty special. Can I say that?
Yeah,
pretty special.
Usually,
Chris Felica from Fox Sports, Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, and then a pioneer in the business in terms of predictive modeling, Dr. Bob. But college football's over, so replacing, we still got the Fezzik and Felica part, replacing Dr. Bob, this can't possibly be true, 1982 National League MVP Joe Theismann on the show.
Can't wait.
I'm going to fanboy my way through that segment.
Just to get you a little bit more excited, yeah. We've had Joe on the show, two or three times, something like that?
A couple times. I've proclaimed my love for him before.
But never on video, Gil.
Oh, is it on video? Sweet.
I probably shouldn't be promising that, but I think so. Oh. I think we're going to get there.
Joe Theismann, baby. So we'll talk to Joe about, obviously, Philadelphia, Washington, primarily. Buffalo, Kansas City being the other one. We'll get our bets here momentarily. Paul Carr will join us first hour. He's on fire in both the Premier League and Champions League. We'll get his soccer picks. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. A little NFL championship round. Are we sure?
That's right.
Estamos seguros. Coming up as well. First, let's get the tennis here out of the way before we get into football. We now have the ladies' finals and the gentlemen's final set at the Australian Open. Ladies tonight, the American Madison Keys against Aryna Sabalenka. Sabalenka trying to win yet another Australian Open, her third in a row. Trying to do that, and Sabalenka is a big favorite. I will not have a play in this. She's just around a $3 plus favorite, I believe Sabalenka is.
Yeah, let me check
point.
In because that was moving all day
yesterday.
Which,
by the way, again, is justified based on how I handicap tennis and the raw data of this. That's a justified line, just like Iga being closing minus 667 favorite against Maddie Keys was a justified line based on the numbers. Now, sports is sports. Stuff happens. And as we talked about on the Beating the Book Australian Open podcast, Maddie Keys has this in her. So this is Maddie Keys' second ever Grand Slam final. The first was the 2017 U.S. Open, which she lost to her good friend Sloane Stephens. But there is no play for me in that one. There will be a play for me.
Sabalenka minus 330.
Minus 330.
So we did Keys plus 250. So what? When it opened a little higher.
It opened at $4.
Yeah, Keys took money, and now we're back to Sabalenka taking a little bit of money.
Yeah, makes sense. Tomorrow I will have a play. Obviously, we won't be on air, but I am taking the over 39.5 games in the Jannik Sinner Sasha Zverev final. And this came to pass last night. Sinner beat Ben Shelton in straight sets. The American, Zach Cohen, did get his one tiebreaker in there. It was 7-6, 6-2, 6-2.
Oh, nice.
So he got it in there.
That's a fun bet.
Shelton caved after that, apparently. Again, the time zones are the problem here, so we don't get to see much of these matches. But we did see the first set and the only set of the Sasha Zverev-Novak Djokovic match last night. Novak was hurting. You could tell he was not at full strength. He looked like he was about, as Patrick McEnroe said, about 75% last night. Zverev had so many chances to break him and couldn't. And you're like, really? Are you going to let Novak off the hook here? But in the end, it went to a tiebreaker. And then Novak hits a volley, a very makeable volley into the net for set point. And without even breaking stride, he goes right across the net. He's like, I'm done.
Oh, man.
So if you had Zverev at a shop that only needs one set to grade, BetMGM and DraftKings being the two most prominent in that category, then you were graded a winner. Otherwise, it's a refund. But in that match, Sasha Zverev and Jannik Sinner, I do have the over 39.5 games tomorrow night, because I really do think, unlike Ben Shelton, that Sasha Zverev, this is his third Grand Slam final. He's never won a slam. Sinner has the number one player in the world, but I think for Zverev, he is going to put up a heck of a fight in this one.
I'm kind of rooting for Zverev. I feel like he's the poor guy who's always got to play like basically the entire 4 weeks, but then never even really sniffs a championship.
The entire 2 weeks, you mean?
Yeah. What did I just say? Four weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks.
That's a heck of a tournament.
I feel like he gets to the quarters or like semis, like every Grand Slam, you're done.
Andre Rublev is the quarterfinal ceiling guy.
Really?
Zverev gets, I mean, he gets deep. He gets to tons of semis. This is his third Grand Slam final. He wins a lot of tournaments too. And he was great after the match yesterday because some folks had the nerve to boo Novak as he quit.
That, yeah.
Novak Djokovic, who has won 10 of these Australian Opens in his career, who's won one of these with an abdominal strain. He won a slam with an abdominal strain. So Zverev immediately went in on the fans who booed him. He's like, don't do that.
I mean, the Australian Open always the rowdiest, I guess, of the Grand Slams.
I'll say US Open. Okay. US Open still. Yeah.
But man, I feel like it's been quite an eventful tournament down there with between reporters and fans and
Even
our wacky American players saying and doing things. Yeah, wow.
Danielle freaking Collins doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so over tomorrow night, Zverev and Sinner. The National Football League, Sunday, Championship Sunday, NFC, AFC. I feel with all the, the fact that we're obviously, not just us, but I just feel like Jaden Daniels, as phenomenal as he has been, am I right in saying that the Buffalo-Kansas City game feels like it's gotten short shrift a little bit? I feel like it, just anecdotally, which is just not fair at all, because that's the marquee matchup, really, in these Final Four here.
It's a great point, because you're just from feel, I feel like I was more excited last week for Ravens Bills than I am for Chiefs Bills, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I'm with you. Chiefs 2-point favorites. Do you have besides your Buffalo teaser leg?
Yeah.
Did you end up with anything here?
Okay. No, but I'm staked enough with the teasers that I'm going to sprinkle in a couple other things. I will probably play the Bills a little bit on the money line, and then play a little bit of alt. Probably like lay 6.5 or something like that with the Bills. But small. Those are small because I've got pretty big positions with them teased up already. And then I think I'm going to play Josh Allen over his rushing yards, but I have not fired on any of those yet.
When Fezzik is here, or Steve Fezzik in the next hour, for those again unfamiliar with him, back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, the only person ever to do so, we will get into like a talk about, okay, do you take the Chiefs? If you want the Chiefs, do you take them on the money line? Do you lay the points? We'll do all that. With Fezzik as well, from a mathematical standpoint. I promise you, it won't be deep math. He'll just tell us what the correct answer is. We'll also do a little look back memory lane with Super Bowl lines with him as well. A whole bunch of stuff. And then Washington, Philadelphia. I mentioned earlier this week, I took Washington on the money line, like I did against the Lions, again, with Washington, because of Dan Quinn's propensity to go for it on fourth down, knowing that he has Boy Wonder under center, Jaden Daniels. And again, I push back on that narrative that some folks had. Oh, it's the luckiest team of all time. No, it's not. It's fourth and short all the time, and the kid just keeps getting them, and he couldn't look more comfortable. It's not like it's a team that's been going for it on fourth and seven or fourth and eight. It's not that kind of team. So I took them again here on the money line because of that variance that exists with converting fourth downs. I also did add, Kelly, them with the points, +6. No surprise here. And again, I can be accused of being a homer this week. I get it. Keep in mind, it was Brian Grayson, lifelong Philly fan who's listening since the betting dork days. He says, because I've always wondered what it would sound like listening to you when the Washington football team actually mattered this late in the season. It's the first time as an adult they've ever mattered. So I'm on Washington. Money line and Washington plus the points.
Can I ask you a staking question when it comes to this? Because usually, yes. I think a lot with the dogs, it's, you know, whether I'm betting NBA, NFL, if I'm taking points and playing a money line, it's a 75-25 split, something like that, or 80-20, or even higher on the spread. But I know you made the money line bet first. Yeah. So how'd you split that up?
It's a great question, and I am probably not representative of how most do it. And I'm not even going to sit here and tell you that what I do is the right thing for most. But when I do this, and it's the same for tennis, right? If I'm doing, the other night we had a money line and plus games, yeah, or whatever. For me, it is the same unit size. So in other words, okay. I will split them if the money line doesn't get there and the total in the tennis match does. Here, my money line bet is the same as my ATS bet.
I think it's always an interesting conversation because everybody does it differently. Yeah, everybody does it differently. So
there's also lots of questions with that too when it comes to, and it's a very valid question. Someone asked me on Twitter, forgive me for not remembering who, yesterday, which I've been asked many times before, is when you're betting a favorite, you know, when you bet a dog, it's a unit to win more than that unit. But when you're betting a favorite, is it to win the unit, laying more to win the unit, or are you laying the unit to win less than that unit?
I love these conversations.
Me and Matt Brown used to get into this on Primetime Action. And me, again, just me, it's always more to win the unit.
So
when I'm talking about it, that's what I mean.
Right. So if you're betting a -110, you're betting $110 to win 100.
Correct.
For that. Example.
Whereas some people would say 100 to win 94, right?
Or 91. I think if you were in my era of better, growing up where basically everything started on a computer, you didn't think that way because you weren't worried about making break-even cash, right? I'm going to go to the window and I want $210 back in total. I don't have to worry about change or anything like that. It was just punching numbers into a computer and it's always going to be in my account. So I don't really care if there's you know, 27 cents in the account.
Well, when you do a show about it, it becomes a semantic thing, but just translating it to math. What's interesting is that some of your, you know, faraway skins on your computer, mm-hmm. they're formatted different. So sometimes if you put in the 100, it slots it into the to win. Sometimes it's, your stake
that's
is 100
yes.
to win 91. So again, I just mean 110 to win 100 when I talk about that. Are we sure? National Football League. Kelly asked the questions. I will do my damnedest to answer them. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Put your skills to the test in the Pegasus Playoff Pick'em Challenge brought to you by our friends at FirstBet. Sign up for free to play at VSiN.com/Pegasus and make your picks for Saturday's marquee horse races at Gulfstream Park, as well as Sunday's big football games. Top pickers will receive FirstBet vouchers you can use to play the ponies, and everyone who plays will receive VSiN's Super Bowl betting guide. Head to VSiN.com/Pegasus to play. Suppose I'm supposed to spell that P-E-G-A-S-U-S. Not sure if everybody knows Pegasus right off the top. What do you think? What percentage of the audience would know?
No, I think it's a good job by you.
Oh, turn to your side again. We have a stray beard hair or two that's going to bother me.
I don't like that.
It's not good. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, live from Circa Resort Casino. This is a numbers game. Not sure if you're aware of that. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Kelly, I'm Ron Burgundying through them. I haven't looked at any of these. Let's see what happens. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. From everybody. This is from Gabe Owners says, morning, gentlemen. I may have forced them to take it down. He says he has Hendrickson 40-1 plays for Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, that was weird yesterday. Yesterday, the National Football League announced their finalists for all of their awards. These awards will get announced. The winners of those awards will get announced on February 6th, 3 days before the Super Bowl. But yesterday they came out with the five finalists. And so some random books, and I do mean random, reposted the numbers on these.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, obviously Gabe is joking about the fact that he pulled them down, but nothing has changed. The voting is already done. The voting is already in. It was just the fact that they announced the finalists. So nothing has fundamentally changed.
I was surprised when he tweeted at us that someone was posting that. I would be very cautious if you were going to bet that right now. I mean, everything's in.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the books know, but
I don't think the books know. The books are just like, okay, now that you know who the five finalists are, let's see if we can generate more action. They're just looking for money.
Yeah.
Scott, New York, or you know, liquidity. New York mess, you did bet it?
No, I still wouldn't bet it. I'm not superstitious, Gil, but I'm a little stitious.
By the way, I love when listeners have questions for future guests here on the show. New York Mets 16, Scott, can we coax a Pegasus Cup pick out of Chris Felica or maybe a spot play on the undercard during a spot? Yes, we will ask him. Maybe he has one, maybe he doesn't.
I think he's still texting us plays right now.
Yeah. Felica and Fezzik, very comfortable with us right before the show, texting all that. And the Better Life Tim Lawson has a question for Paul Carr coming up in his soccer segment. Does he think Isaac plus 650 for top goal scorer is a good entry point into that market, considering the matchups and schedule coming up for the front runner? So again, we'll talk with Felica about multiple sports, obviously football first, but Paul Carr with the global football. Okay, and the nice cold gambler, Jason, says, I'm a bet half my spread amount on the money line guy. I've always wondered if I do it correctly. There are going to be some people who tell you you do it correctly or you don't do it incorrectly because there is some mathematical basis to it, but I'm not going to be that guy to do that. I think people have their sort of way of doing things, and I'm not going to tell you, hey, you're doing it wrong, because I think that's, you know, there's a too cool for school crowd out there that believes that their way is kind of the only way to do things. I don't believe it.
I'll tell you, I started telling you during the break, but I actually didn't finish the conversation. With the NBA, it's sad because I've gotten to the point where I've almost gotten lazy about it, where I know I should be taking a piece of the money line when I'm betting dogs, and I'm like, just don't get to it, because you get, over the years, you bet this stuff so much, you get, all you remember are those times where that spread got home, but the money line didn't, and yep. It drives you insane. I'm like, I'd rather just load up more on taking 6.5 points.
Well, I mean, again, and there's also this thing where, like, if I take a dog in tennis, this will come up every once in a while. We do very well with dogs betting tennis, right, on this show. And if you're getting VSiN.com/picks for subscribers, all the tennis plays throughout the year. But then every once in a while, that player will hit against the spread but not win outright.
Right.
Inevitably, the question will come, why don't you do it this way? And I'm like, well, it actually, when you do it mathematically, this is actually the better way to do it, historically, yep, for me. Last one. Willie Beeman, how should I hedge? Oh, another hedging question. We don't do the hedging questions. Kelly and I have a policy on the hedging questions, not because we don't want to help, but because there is no upside for us on the hedging questions. I just want to say this because just as a policy thing, you'll back me up on this. It's whatever we tell you, we don't want to be, you've gotten this far on your own. We don't know your reasons for making the bet in the first place. We don't know your financial situation. If we do that, we will go down these big rabbit holes for everybody. And then in the end, for this one play, we feel responsible for the result of it. So there really is no upside in us going through that particular process.
Except if you were holding that Panthers ticket that we talked about.
That's right. That's right.
Gil and I were like, cash out.
Cash out. We were the first people to say that.
No, I completely agree with that. I tackled it on Long Shots this last episode, basically said the same thing. Like, hey, we're going to talk about this now because we're not talking about it again going forward. And it, look, even for us, it changes sport to sport and bet to bet, right?
Absolutely.
Like, golf I treat very differently than I treat other futures tickets or something like that. So,
and then inevitably some know-it-all on Twitter will come in and tell us we're wrong, and we're like, sure, thanks for, you know, no good deed goes unpunished kind of thing.
Yep.
It's time for Are We Sure? National Football League Championship Round Edition. And we have no sexy intro, do we?
No, we do not. Are we sure, Gil, the Eagles can win Sunday without a better performance out of the passing game?
I'm not. I think they need to. I mean, they need to step that up. The notion that they can win, is it possible? Yes. That they can win with another otherworldly game from Saquon and a great defensive game? Sure. It's possible. But I even think that an Eagle fan listening would be like, yeah, we probably need to have something out of that passing game. Like, A.J. Brown has to stop reading the book and show up. Devontae does as well. Jalen Hurts does in the passing game. Can't be one-dimensional.
I am wondering how many people are out there like me that are staying away from this game solely because of that. I don't have confidence in that Eagles passing game right now. Therefore, I cannot be laying 6 points.
I asked this on a Megapod. I don't mean to stray from the Are We Sure? I asked this on the Megapod. I asked this very often during the regular season, but let's just ask about these two championship games. If these two games were ensconced, thank you, in the middle of a 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific window, on week 11, which, by the way, they both did play week 11, just not in the same window. But let's say they were on a random NFL Sunday in the middle of the early window. Would you bet these games? I'll even answer before you answered. Hell no, I wouldn't.
I would bet them the exact way I'm betting them this week, which means I don't have a bet at all on Commanders Eagles. And Gil, I do think the Bills teaser leg is one of the better teaser legs of the year.
That, and, you know, now that I think about it, I probably would bet it the same way too. Because I wouldn't bet Buffalo Kansas City, which I'm not. And I do think that the Washington spread is too much.
Now, what was my problem this week, though, or the past week? It was finding a dance partner to tease Bills with, right?
That's right.
So I had an uncomfortable amount of money on a college football playoff game that I usually do not do very well betting. So that got home, though, thank God. Yeah. All right, are we sure? Yeah, we're sure this is the year the Chiefs Super Bowl streak ends, Gil.
I'm not. I think I speak for everybody. I'm not sure. I mean, there's a lot of people who believe this is the end of the road, right? This is the year that Buffalo finally beats them. Until I see it, I'm not sure.
I'm jumping around. Are we sure Deion Sanders will be coaching in the NFL next season?
I'm not sure. I still feel like Jerry Jones is waiting for Kellen Moore. And by the way, he gets to talk to Kellen Moore either way. Win or lose, Eagles this weekend, he gets to talk to Kellen Moore next week by rule.
I have to believe, like my brain just can't comprehend this otherwise, that that Jerry has been nonstop talking to Deion. I just don't get the Schottenheimer, Kellen Moore moves from McCarthy.
I don't either, but I'm just telling you, I'm not sure it's Deion, this coaching in the NFL next year.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Ben Johnson is the guy to lead the Bears back to the playoffs.
I'm absolutely not sure. As I've said many times, again, telling that story about turn the plane around. Like, really, if that story is true, that Ben Johnson was not interested in Washington drafting Jaden Daniels and would have preferred coaching Sam Howell up, I don't need to hear anything else.
All right, couple draft ones for you. Are we sure a quarterback will be the first overall pick?
Not after that Titans comment the other day about generational talent. I know some people, you know, some people don't agree with me that when they said generational talent, when you use that phrase, to me, that immediately is a euphemism for Travis Hunter. But maybe it's not. Maybe they're talking about somebody else. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It sounds like they are thinking about Travis Hunter. It could be a smokescreen, but I'm not 100% sure.
Are we sure Travis Hunter will mainly play wide receiver in the NFL?
Oh, that's a great question. I think so. Though I remember there was a moment this year where someone was saying, oh, no, he played cornerback more than wide receiver. No, I think he'll play more wide receiver. I'm sure about that.
I feel like we've all said that we think that. I've said this. I've heard others say it. I think it's wide receiver because you've got an opportunity to make more money there.
That's right. From his perspective, it'll be like, yes, I'm a wide receiver, please. And then they'll sprinkle him in at corner when necessary.
Yeah, when you need a fourth, fifth DB on the field, I think that's how we see him. But
I'm sure about that one.
It's just weird that we think he's going to go so high and we don't really even know how he's going to be utilized yet. Okay, are we sure the Chiefs should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl next year?
Next year?
Yeah. Odds are out.
Just curious, does Patrick Mahomes still play for them next year? He does, right? So what are we talking about? Yeah, sure. It's fine with me. I mean, I'm not sure about that. But again, if Patrick Mahomes wins the Super Bowl this year, then of course he should be. Because what are we talking about anymore with the, you know, Ravens historically great or Ravens San Francisco historically great last year? I'm ambivalent about that.
All right, one more just to fire up Gil. Are we sure Iga Swiatek is the best women's tennis player in the world?
100,000% she is. Again, I have access to the data. Trust me, she is. 5 majors, 22 titles at the age of 23, just behind Serena's pace. She's the best. Trust. Coming back, Paul Carr on soccer. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So do I say to Joe Theismann, I love you, or I'm in love with you? Oh, sorry. Start making smarter bets today with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now and save 25% off an annual subscription with promo code ANG, Dominate Football Playoffs, and beyond with instant access to our daily best bets from top analysts to help you cash in on the conference championships, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circus Sportsbooks to uncover where the smart money's going, 24/7 access to our live video stream and on-demand show replays, plus our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide, March Madness betting guide, and year-round strategies for every major sport. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
As in a numbers game.
Save 25% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. As long as y'all are funny, man. I don't care if you murder us also. Pounder, Robert S. Lane. My technique is to bet a random amount. Talking about our discussion about, you know, unit sizing. He says, my technique is to bet a random amount because that's all I have left in my account. Sorry, it's not,
right, well done.
It's not funny, Pounder, but it is kind of funny. Brosec.
Empty the account.
Brosec 1870. Didn't listen to the Megapod until after the Eagle match. If Washington does not win, remember you sold her for the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. What was this? That was asked. Oh, was it Todd? Somebody asked me if I could only have one of them, Eagle winning the Australian Open or Washington winning the Super Bowl. I was like, Washington winning the Super Bowl. It's not even close.
Oh.
Even though financially it would have benefited me more if Eagle won.
So you clearly had this coming.
I guess is what he's saying.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
You have it coming that none of them will win. Is neither will win, he says. Cowboys underscore Cubs won. This is a great one, too. Did I really hear Kelly say he feels sorry for Zverev and is rooting for him? Do you want to tell him, Gil? I should probably tell him.
Not a nice guy off court, right?
Well, just say some allegations that things have gotten a little out of hand with some ladies.
Well, that's not right. Yeah. I'm rooting against Sasha now, or Alexander, or whatever your name is.
Alexander Sasha Zverev. Spence at Spence CC. I remember when the Falcons called Kyle Pitts a generational talent.
Yeah.
I remember when I asked Lombardi, hey, is Trevor Lawrence a generational? And before I could even finish, he's like, absolutely. So, yeah, that gets thrown around. Ryan Thompson. Are we sure Kelly's the best commercial actor at VSiN? Amazing head nods. But Dave Ross's Stormy with a credit card and Legacy Club guy mouthing, this is fun, making a strong push for the top spot.
Do I have to respond to this?
I think you do.
One.
He's challenging your thespian skills.
Did I ever say, or any of us ever say, I was the best commercial actor at VSiN? I never claimed that.
Well,
I don't think I claimed it. I think you're just making a joke.
I think you're taking it a little harsh.
I mean, I definitely think that, Ryan, but I haven't claimed that for sure. And I will never sit here and claim I'm better than Dave Ross at anything in life. You see that man's hair every day? It's perfect.
His mom even called him and complimented him.
That's right.
Today, you know? Eric Cheshire. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Regarding the Chiefs next year, 100% favorite. Get Rice back, Pacheco and Brown healthy, plus more time with D-Hop. Oh, and still have 15 scary good next year. I hate it, but they're going to be phenomenal. Still got 15. He's right about that. Kevin Ryan, Gil, are we sure that Ben Johnson will turn the Bears around? No. That's what I said. A team led by a quarterback that paints his fingernails will never be a leader of men. That I am sure of. People were really bothered by that.
Yeah, for real.
They really are. Let's see. Sly Bry saying he's on a 5 a.m. flight to Philly. Go see the game. Uncle Buck says, I should say, Joey T, I have always loved you. That's what I should say to him. On that. Ladies and gentlemen, he's on a soccer heater. He went 3-0 in the Premier League last weekend, 2-1 with a big plus 260 cashing in the Champions League midweek. It's Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr from True Media Networks and, of course, the host of the Expected Value podcast. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Paul, what do you have to say for yourself on this heater?
Hey, let's keep it going. Can I break some NFL news for you?
Please. Yes.
Adam Schefter just reported that Pete Carroll and the Raiders have reached agreement on a 3-year deal with a 4th-year team option.
Oh,
how about that?
I did not see that coming.
Wow.
Pete Carroll.
And 73 wow. years old, back in the league.
73 years old?
Yeah.
I was just looking that up. 73-year-old Pete Carroll, who, by the way, looks like he's 60 at the top, you know, at the most. And it was spry out there on the football field. 73-year-old Pete Carroll, according to our source, Paul Carr. So if this doesn't go down, Paul, it's on you.
I'm blaming Adam Schefter.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter. It says, yeah, 3-year deal with a 4th-year team option. I wonder if are Raiders fans now, the average Raiders fan, is he, she going to be pumped by this? Or is that going to be like, oh.
How could you possibly be excited about Pete Carroll coming in?
Pete Carroll.
Yeah, not the most progressive.
Not the most progressive.
From an offensive standpoint, we'll say. Obviously, good defense.
As a body of work of a career, wonderful, right? Yeah. Obviously, people could say what they want to about USC. Obviously, won a championship in Seattle. But yes, the latter part of his career was marred by this emphasis on we will win running the football.
Right.
And to the detriment, right? Because if you do the win probability breakdown of those things, he cost his team points and win probability. Right. That's not
kind of,
it's not my opinion.
Kind
that's
of yeah. Tomlin-esque, maybe.
Yeah.
And kind of the stubbornness to stick to, you know, your philosophy when times are changing. But
So they couldn't figure it out with Dion either, huh?
I just want to say this. You know, the real calling card is Pete Carroll. I'm not Antonio Pierce. I think that's kind of the selling
point. It is very much a pendulum swinging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Pete Carroll. I'm not Antonio Pierce. Would you like to take some listener questions? We have not one, but two listener questions for you, Paul.
Oh, boy. Let's go.
First of all, the one that I had mentioned earlier, this is from Tim Lawson from The Better Life, who always chimes in with a soccer question. I'll repeat it from him, which was about a certain market. He says, does Paul think Isaac plus 650 for top goal scorer is a good entry point into this market? Considering the matchups and schedule coming up for the front runners,
It's okay. So I have it's Alexander Isak, by the way.
Oh,
Swedish.
Isak. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So Isak, I have a plus 1600 on him from before the season. So I'm not jumping on this one. The issue is he doesn't take penalties, or we don't think he takes penalties. Newcastle's only had one this year. He did not take it. And like Mo Salah, whom he's chasing, has 5 penalty goals this year, and that's tough to make up. Haaland also has had not a very good year and is still ahead of him, and you kind of think City will regress positively at some point, and he's chasing both of them. So, you know, you're at plus 650, plus 700. It's not terrible. He's probably the one I would pick if I had to pick somebody that wasn't the top two, but it's not something I'm rushing out to play.
And we're talking Premier League, just to clarify for folks.
Yeah, Premier League Golden Boot.
Bruce Dobigan for Paul Carr. Hurricane winds and storms across the UK this weekend. Does he factor weather into his picks?
I mean, generally, you would be inclined to take unders because it's just messy, and I don't know. But I've seen it the other way too, where it's slick, guys are falling everywhere, the ball slides through, players rush on. So it's something. So yeah, I would lean unders in those conditions in general, although I do have an over coming up here.
Okay.
What a great Kevin Roth question. At what mile per hour winds does it affect across from one side of the field to the other?
And Kevin Roth's answer with the NFL was over 15 miles per hour.
Yeah. About what
with
I
the NFL. Yeah. Yeah, with the NFL. Okay, yeah. Let's get to the picks. Premier League, you got two tomorrow. You got one on Sunday.
Yep. So we'll start tomorrow. Arsenal, win to nil against Wolverhampton. This one's tomorrow. Arsenal's got the best defense in the Premier League. Now, they won't have Saliba, one of their best defenders. He's out injured, but the numbers still look great, and Wolves is still a mess. They changed managers. They're trying to avoid relegation, but they're still in 17th place, only out of the relegation zone on goal difference. Mateus Cunha, who's their left winger, who's maybe the best left wing in the Premier League this season, I don't know, not quite on the outs, but there are discussions about his future, we'll just say. So we're not totally sure what kind of form or if he'll even play here. And Wolves hasn't been able to score much lately. Arsenal would love a 1-0 win here. Go in, get a goal, close up shop, get out with 3 points. So Arsenal win to nil plus 145 is a pretty good price for it.
Now, reminder, Gil, that is the Wolverhampton Wanderers that go by the Wolves.
Sure. Sure. Arsenal win to nil. By the way, from the old Chrissy Andrews, my Mishpucha story, what is nil? Nil equals zero, for those who might not know, again, listening on SiriusXM.
English for zero.
Win to nil. Arsenal, again, holding Wolverhampton to zero goals at plus 145. Then a double chance. Explain the double chance to us.
Double chance or plus half a goal. Same bet. Sometimes the prices will vary even at the same book, which is weird. I have the Chelsea double chance at Man City. We're back on this train, at least momentarily. Man City has the illusion of being back. They've won, I think, four of their last six. But the teams they beat there, they beat Leicester, they beat Ipswich, they beat something called Salford City in the FA Cup. They're in England's fourth division. And then they were up 2-0 on PSG midweek and lost 4-2. So City, firmly not back in my mind. Chelsea, one of the better attacks in the Premier League all season. I think even going on the road, they can get a point, a win or a draw. I don't hate the draw price at plus 300, but I'm going with the double chance at minus 130.
Okay, and then Sunday we have a total.
Yeah, Fulham and Manchester United over 2.5 at minus 120. Manchester United really scuffling this year. Their manager, new manager, said this might be the worst Man United team ever. Might be a slight exaggeration, but they're doing things that hadn't been done at the club in like 130 years. Fulham, not quite a high power team, but they tend to crank it up at home. 8 of their 11 home games have had 3+ goals. United's defense has been leaky all season, giving up really good shots, and especially so the last few games. I expected this price to be a lot closer to minus 150. I got it at minus 120 for over 2.5.
All right, Saturday, Arsenal win to nil, plus 145. Always shop around at Wolverhampton. Chelsea, double chance, minus 130 at Man City. And then Sunday, Fulham, Man U, over 2.5 goals. Paul Carr's 3-pack of Premier League picks. Thank you, Paul.
Welcome. Go Commodes.
Go Commodes. Even though we don't call them that anymore, because they're pretty darn good. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. At Paul Carr on Twitter, C-A-R-R.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Terrific as Kelly's naming random 90s actresses.
Eliza Dushku?
Eliza.
That was Dushku. Her. I got it right.
No, you totally got it right. Don't forget about our guy, Todd Bubble Horwitz, who we're trying to get on the show. We'll find time here as football season winds down. It's all about sports betting and trading. Understanding probability is his thing, the ultimate game changer. Unlock the secrets of high probability trading with Todd Bubble Horwitz, former floor trader and seasoned sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSIN today and use promo code VSIN500 to save $500. Don't miss your chance to sharpen your strategy and gain the edge in your trading game. That's BubbaTrading.com/VSIN, promo code VSIN500. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa. downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort Casino. This is a numbers game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. By the way, Visa, you're right. The Visa account posting our immediate reaction to, in case you missed the breaking news that Paul Carr broke right here on this show in real time. Pete Carroll is the new head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, which
I'm stunned.
I'm stunned by.
Frankly, I'm stunned. Except for the Antonio Pierce point, like you said, that's like, is that all we're doing? We're just making that pivot. Let's get a guy in here with experience.
Hoops by Hoots, who moments before we announced this, tweeted, he goes, "Can you believe this report? The Raiders might hire Pete Carroll." To which I responded, "Oh, it is Barotten." Do you know that quote from? Was that from Bring It On? Someone said, "Bring it." She's like, "Oh, it is Barotten." And so
I don't
Pete
think
Carroll,
that was the exact quote.
Yeah, oh no, I remember that quote. It's something like that. It was already Broughton. It's Broughton. He's the coach. He is the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. And again, I will repeat that point that I made last segment, which is, say what you will about his body of work, and it is, look, Pete Carroll has done more as a coach, both at the college and pro level, than most. But the final years of his tenure in Seattle were colored by this just absolute insistence on running the football over passing. He was even drafting guys, you know, higher than they were expected to be slotted. And it did, when it came to in-game win probability, it cost them. So, I don't know. 73-year-old Pete Carroll.
I think he's
your head coach.
I think Deion
Good
Sanders.
For him, by the way.
Good for him. Yeah. I mean, Pete Carroll always seems like a nice guy.
The amazing thing is, we all should aspire to have that kind of energy at the age of 73. My goodness.
Oh, totally. Deion's going to the Cowboys.
You're convinced now?
I'm kind of convinced.
Because of that move?
What's the point? Oh, I thought he was going to end up in Vegas. I believed the whole Vegas idea of him ending up here, getting Shadur somehow here as well.
Well, that's part of the if they can finagle that, he will be the coach.
Right. The Cowboys, that's a different story, right? Because you've got Dak, you have a massive contract issue.
But that's what I'm saying. Dak is in a corner going like, hey, what about me? I'm still here.
I think Deion could end up as head coach of the Cowboys without Shadur. I think he'd be okay with that. What's the point of staying in Colorado?
I will say this. If it's not Deion and it ends up being Kellen Moore or even Brian Schottenheimer, my goodness, that does have the feel. If it ends up being Brian Schottenheimer specifically, but also Kellen Moore to some extent, but Schottenheimer for real, which is the feel of that would be, I'm Jerry Jones, I'm here with my sons, and at this point, we don't even care who the head coach is.
I mean, seriously. Either one of those, to me, would be worse than Pete Carroll, actually, because at that point, I don't understand why you move on from Mike McCarthy then.
Master of puppets. Pete will change the culture of the Raiders. As a Seahawks fan, he flipped that whole building, turned the franchise into a winning one. Culture matters. Culture over everything. This will draw good talent to your franchise. Great hire by Vegas. Master of puppets loves it. Dave Ross, by the way, our own Dave Ross, host of By the Books here in the morning that precedes us. Kelly has amazing hair, too, but I worked hard on my acting chops. Stormy witnessed it firsthand, still waiting for the call up to the majors. By the way, I thought Stormy was the best actress here, the best actor, period, when she was like, Dave, I'm busy. I thought that was great acting in that. Nathan Henry, if Pete Carroll, this is the real question, if Pete Carroll moves into Antonio's old flat and you happen to cross paths after a questionable in-game decision, would you be more likely to question him because he's a frail senior citizen? Yes. How can I answer that more emphatically?
Yes.
Yes.
Would be more willing, yes.
Absolutely. As opposed to me walking up to Coach Pierce and being like, hey, about that decision the other day. He comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, which used to be something funny, and it still is funny because we're not talking about that smoke. But obviously, in recent days, people listening for the first time will take that differently. So trust me, it was an old joke that we made about some things that Jason might have a penchant for, not the obvious tragedies that have happened recently. But he is at Spreadopedia on Twitter. He is a guy who comes on this show not once but twice a week. It's Jason Weingarten, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going? Getting ready for the Washington game this weekend,
oh,
I suppose.
Oh, yes. Who am I? Joe Theismann follows you, Jason. Joe Theismann. Oh,
does he really?
Oh, I'm very excited. Very excited to talk to Joe. Do you have any bets? Refresh our memory. Any bets this weekend in the two football games?
Got a little bit on the Bills. I see it's out to Bills plus 1.5. I probably still bet that. Eagles game, haven't bet anything yet. For your sake, I hope the Commanders win. Historically, it would it would be a little unprecedented for a rookie to go on the road and win another game, but it doesn't mean it won't happen, especially with Jalen Hurts not being 100% this playoff run. You know, the Commanders certainly are live, but I'm going to wait to bet that. I probably will bet it on Sunday. I have not pulled the trigger yet, but so far it just Bills plus 1.5.
Bills plus 1.5. And give us some reasoning on as to why you ended up on the Bills.
I like them better. Skill positions, I like them better top to bottom. I think Josh Allen's the guy this year. There's nothing against Kansas City. You know, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. They have a good team. They have a great coaching staff. But everybody's got to lose sometime, even though I know. Is there a stat the Bills haven't won a road playoff game since, like, 1992? Did you hear that?
Is that right? That
sounds right.
Checks out. Yeah. Checks out. Yeah.
Everyone's got to lose sometime. You know, I mean, Chiefs, obviously, a huge home field advantage. But, yeah, I think the Bills are going to the Super Bowl here.
You feel, as I'm listening to you, it sounds like you feel like this is the Bills' year, period. Like, you feel like they're winning it all, don't you? That's what I'm kind of hearing.
Be nice to see. You know, the thing, when you get to the final four teams, any one of these four teams win it. Any one of these four teams can have a bad game on Sunday. Buffalo Bills, I think there's some compelling angles there. One thing I saw someone mention on Twitter, a guy in cornfields, guy I follow, a VSiN listener. He was saying last week, go out, get your DeMar Hamlin MVP, Super Bowl MVP tickets. I saw that and I was like, oh, I like where this guy's head's at. That's my kind of bet.
As a historical DeMar Hamlin guy yourself, yes. Yeah.
I mean, if you're not betting DeMar Hamlin Super Bowl MVP, what are you even doing?
It was the 92-93 season.
Living a profitable life is what my answer would be. What you're doing.
You have more money.
Yeah. But what about DeMar now? The actual, since you bring up DeMar, the finalists for all the awards came out yesterday. DeMar is one of the five NFL comeback player of the year finalists. A year removed now, right? A year beyond when we thought he was a shoo-in to win that award. Now, the finalists, as we read yesterday, are supposed to be, right, directly related to the vote count. So the NFL, we are led to believe, is not, you know, poetic. He's not doing any poetic license here and throwing in names to throw you off the scent. So somehow he is in the top five. Do you believe he's alive?
Well, I mean, you have to pick five guys. It's like ranked choice voting. So you have to fill out a ballot with five guys, and you look at the ballots, even if you have, you know, Burrow and Darnold 1 and 2, you have a hard time filling out 3, 4, and 5. So I don't know. I think he probably got more than zero first place votes. If I had to guess, there's probably a couple voters out there who just looked at Burrow and Darnold and said, I don't want to vote for either of these guys. Is he live? I mean, for my sake, I want to say yes, because I have some money on it, but I'm not like getting my hopes up or anything, you
okay.
know, like
that's the answer I'm looking for.
I think it's just a matter of when you have to have five guys on a ballot, someone's going to be third, fourth, and fifth. But there's always like one upset in these every year. So it wouldn't surprise me if coach of the year or comeback player of the year, we see some, an upset. Lamar Jackson, by the way, is part of the offensive player of the year rankings too.
Oh yes, so. For those who don't know, Jason is a proponent of the Lamar wins both MVP and offensive player. By the way, Joe Theismann, who's coming up, won both MVP and offensive player of the year in 1980 and 3. Just in case you were wondering,
he's pretty good.
He's a pretty good player. All right. Well, we'll see if that happens, Jason. Anything else you're betting on that we should go before we leave you?
I keep following the UW-Wisconsin, Green Bay, Doug Gottlieb stuff. I don't know if they're going to win a game this year. I always pay attention to those, see if there's a good spot to get in the second half or anything. That's a weird situation.
It is a very odd situation. And Doug Gottlieb getting paid by reports only, in quotes, but for a D1 college basketball coach, $215,000 to be their coach while working on the radio at Fox.
Yeah, maybe it's just because it is a part-time job for him.
Well, no, they have it written in like, this has to be your gig. You can't miss it for your show. Jason, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. See you. I'll be at Circa for the Super Bowl, so I'll see you in like...